Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, February 12th, 2021.
Crypto is still on a tear. Bitcoin's up another $500 to $47,843, off of the high of $48,000, but it is right there. Ethereum's up $111, $1,862. I can't even say the number. It's so big and shocking. I remember I was talking with someone today about how Ethereum was at $60 not that long ago. It is absolutely crazy. Across the board, everything was up. Bitcoin Cash is a new all-time high to $570, up $55. XRP is back up to 62 cents, which is nuts and insane. Zcash is up to 151. Dash, new all-time high to 179, up $17. So everyone is on a tear right now. Get in on that, I guess.
All right. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting, cost basis tracking, crypto invoicing, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, Harvest Finance and Value DeFi announced plans to expand to Binance's smart chain.
Yeah, so Binance runs a chain of their own that is essentially just a fork of Ethereum, which is so, I mean, like, why, like, okay, so, you know, the high level for this is you create a fork of Ethereum, and then anyone who has an audited smart contract can deploy it in literally minutes. I mean, you know, the move of doing this is essentially, like, there is no impact on harvest or value. This is like 5 minutes of dev time to deploy their smart contracts and then set up a website that points to the Binance smart chain instead of the one that they use. This doesn't solve the problems that we have in DeFi. This doesn't solve the high gas rates. This doesn't solve liquidity problems. I mean, you know, Harvest and, you know, these guys are not going to have liquidity on the Binance smart chain. There is no liquidity there. I mean, it's something like, you know, less than $1 million is on that chain, not counting their own tokens and stuff. So this is interesting. I mean, I think that this is the way things are going to go. We talk a lot about how Solidity as the language is becoming a universal language. That's going to be incredibly useful for these services to be able to pop to other blockchains. There are things that this is interesting for. So, like, where it's not that interesting for Harvest, because Harvest gets its money by optimizing against other liquidity platforms that are out there. You have to have a lot of liquidity for that to matter. But you take something like Polymarket, which is my favorite betting market. That is a great example to go to other blockchains. And that's based now. What's super interesting is that's based on Matic. So even they've put themselves in a position where they would have a lot more trouble going to another blockchain because they're using a second layer solution. So you have Ethereum as the base layer. Matic is a second layer solution that they then use to be able to do quick settlement. And so it's kind of an issue that they would have a little bit more trouble going over Binance. But you can see, like, smaller projects like that and more one-off projects and projects that don't require big liquidity pools behind them could very easily move to these other exchanges or these other blockchains, and potentially that would be a great place for them to grow and mature. So I think we're going to see more and more of this. I don't think that this is I wouldn't call this a major blow to Ethereum by any means. You know, this article says that Ethereum devs were grumbling about this. Like, I don't think Ethereum devs care at all about deploying to other blockchains, because essentially I wouldn't be surprised if Truffle, which is one of the main developer environments, even just builds a tool that lets you deploy one Solidity smart contract to all of the Ethereum compliant blockchains out there. That would be pretty soon. That'll be Cardano. That'll be, you know, Ethereum. That'll be Binance. That would be an internal Ethereums you might have. So, I mean, this is going to keep on happening. This is not interesting from the perspective of, like, oh God, it's going to change the world. It is interesting from the perspective of we could see more and more of this happening. And hopefully this is a cool place where people can grow that don't require liquidity.
All right. Sounds good. So next, a years-long feud means that DeFi Pulse will only work with 1inch Exchange's community, not its founder. Pat, why hasn't DeFi Pulse listed 1inch Exchange?
Well, small disclaimer on this. I am a bit biased because we've submitted the DeFi Daily a few times to the DeFi Pulse, and they haven't listed us, and they've never even responded to our emails. So I'm kind of a little bit biased on this. The long and short of it is that there's a bit of a beef between these two these two, the heads of these two organizations. Well, the CTO of DeFi Pulse and then the head of One Inch Exchange. Essentially, the allegation is that DeFi Pulse, when they went, the CEO of DeFi Pulse, who then went and created his own DEX, just ripped off One Inch's code. And honestly, I mean, that's, you know, I don't know why that'd make you upset. If you publish open source code, you don't really have the right to get upset if someone uses it to publish their own. I guess you could get mad if they're not giving you credit or something like that. But, you know, honestly, if all this stuff is open source, you can't really take it that personally. But then the 1X guy threw some shade, and then the DeFi Pulse guy, apparently, according to 1inch and some forensic analysis, launched a denial of service against 1inch. I don't know. The whole thing is really crazy and it's really stupid. And at the end of the day, like, once it's on the blockchain, the beef of the individuals doesn't really matter. Like, the DEXs are on the blockchain, they don't change based on individuals doing stuff on them, especially these AMMs that are essentially, you know, you put them in there forever. You know, why you would not just start aggregating those makes absolutely no sense to me. But I think DeFi Pulse has become very political. I think that they're, you know, and that's, I think you can tell that already because it's, you know, the way that they sort of structure is not a wiki. You have to go through an individual to get listed and stuff like that, which is never particularly good for industries like this. So especially where the rest of the industry is so committed to open source, you're here, you have one place that they're not like that. So, you know, I'm biased, but I would say that this is kind of a silly stance for DeFi Pulse to take.
Interesting. All right, next, anonymous DeFi project Core announces a new token project, which will bring a variety of new derivatives and liquidity to the DeFi crypto market.
Yeah, so my reading of this, and I went into the white paper a little bit, there's two things that they're really trying to do. One is they want to bring more option type trading. And I think that, you know, my perspective on this is that after the whole GameStop, I won't say fiasco, because it wasn't quite a fiasco. Maybe it was beyond a fiasco. I don't know. Fiasco doesn't feel right. There needs to be a word with more gravitas. And Quagmire's too indecisive. Anyways, after the whole GameStop thing, you know, option trading has become such a meme within culture at this point that the people who are actively on Wall Street Bets are, you know, you can see it on Reddit. You see the people from Wall Street Bets are starting to form off into other communities. Wall Street Bets actually has a hard rule against listing or talking about any cryptocurrency. You get an immediate perma ban for that. So people, there's now a subreddit called Satoshi Bets. There's Alt Street Bets. There's Crypto Moonshots. These are all places where they're essentially refugees from Wall Street Bets who love crypto or go into. So there's obviously people who are knowledgeable about contracts, which is derivative contracts, which are one of the biggest security instruments in the U.S. on the financial markets. People love, you know, we talk about these financial markets like there's some sort of mystical thing. No, dude, people love gambling. Options and derivative markets are forms of gambling. Like, there may be gambling, maybe they're hedges. Hedges is just another word for gambling with a purpose. I mean, these things are all different mechanisms to gamble. But as you can see, like, people love gambling, and so it's very inevitable there'll be a really robust options platform on DeFi on Ethereum. And so what that's going to look like? There's already a couple of things out there. None of them are particularly great yet. None of them are really what you'd expect. None of them are quite the level of, like, you know, of an actual brokerage. So they're going after that. The other thing they're going after, which I thought was super interesting, is they're going after low liquidity markets. And this is a real issue in the cryptocurrency. It's not an issue for WEETH and WBTC and those types of things. But if you look at some of the smaller coins, like, let's take, there's a wrapped Zcash right now, I think has within one of the pools on Uni has, you know, like $7 million. If there was a run on Zcash, either direction, if someone found a bug in Zcash, or if someone found if someone just decided that Zcash is going to go up in value, you know, you would see that market, that particular AMM very quickly run out of liquidity. And that's a really big issue. So they're essentially doing something similar. The way I kind of interpret it, doing something similar to what Maker does, which is Maker sort of mints and destroys tokens based on the underlying demand for their asset. I think you could do something similar like that to handle the underlying demand for the liquidity pool, to basically be able to handle adding liquidity when you needed it. I'm not sure it'll work. It's a little bit too early to tell. tell, but there is. And the other thing is that that's also kind of a growing pains problem. Like it's sort of a fringe problem for the long tail of cryptocurrencies. It's not a problem for the 99% of users that are getting in today and buying ETH, you know, or one of the other seven tokens out there. So interesting, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last, an FYI for all of you out there. Solana has announced an upcoming DeFi hackathon offering $200,000 in seed funding from the Solana Foundation. And the hackathon is scheduled to take place starting February 15th. All right.
Yeah, we sure talk about XRP a lot for how ridiculous it is. But anyways, there you go.
Hackathon. There should be more hackathons in the DeFi space. I think that's
People love hackathons.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily, and have a great weekend.
All right, take it easy.